And now as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, I want to read a few more verses from chapter 8. John's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow again for prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we turn instinctively to thee, and to use the words of one of the disciples, to whom can we go but unto thee? Thou hast the words of eternal life. O God, we pray today for those who try to live their lives without God, and without Christ, and without hope. Wilt thou mercy look down upon this nation, and remember our fellow citizens who are not yet saved? O God, look down in mercy upon all who are listening at this time to this broadcast, and grant if some are still outside of Christ, this may be the day when their conscience will be gripped, and the day when they'll turn to thee, the living God, for salvation. Bless thy dear people everywhere. This is our heart's desire, and this is our prayer. We ask it in the Saviour's name. Amen. Now, as we continue with our studies then, in the 8th chapter of John, I remind you that I introduced this 8th chapter by saying, here we have the glory of the person of Christ as the light. In the opening 11 verses, it was the light of his grace. And we saw that while the law came by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We saw how grace could deal with a guilty sinner, reminding us of that biblical principle, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's grace that must have all the honor. But not only do we have the light of his grace, there is the light of his glory. That was our last study. But now, as we come today, verses 21 through 30, I suggest it's the light of his government. As the true light, he reveals their darkness. As the true light, he condemns the darkness of their unbelief. As the true light, he unveils the manner of his death. Now, I want you to notice these things then. Here is the light of his government. You know, there are two great truths that seem to travel through the Word of God on parallel lines. Wherever you get the grace of God, you find the parallel line of the government of God. Wherever you come across the government of God, you get it paralleled with the grace of God. Let me illustrate that principle a little to you now. Way back in the book of Genesis, when man rebelled against God and sinned, when Adam fell into the transgression, God acted in government. In his governmental dealings, he had to turn Adam and Eve out of the garden where they had lived in fellowship with him. That was God's act of government. He fitted, as it were, the punishment to the crime. They were turned out of the garden. But while God acted in government at that time, you find the parallel line of grace, for it was then that he clothed the guilty pair with the skins. And I remind you that before you could have the skins for a covering, some animal had to be slain as a substitute. And so while you have God's governmental dealings, dealing with the sinner, you have the manifestation of God's grace when he covered the sinner with the coats of skin from the sacrificial animal. When you come to the time of the flood, that was an act of God's government. God, in his governmental dealings, decided to destroy the earth with all flesh thereon. But while you have God acting in government, you have the parallel line of God's grace. For did he not instruct Noah? Did he not warn Noah? And by faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear and prepared an ark. It was God who instructed Noah how to prepare the ark. And so while God's government is seen in his judgment upon the guilty world, God's grace is seen in supplying the way of salvation, wherein Noah and his wife, and his three sons with their wives, that is, eight souls in all, were saved throughout the judgment. God's government, God's grace. At the time when God acted in delivering the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, God in his mercy and in his grace came down, he heard their cry and was about to deliver them. That was an act of God's sovereign grace. But remember this, those that pursued after them came under the stroke of God's government, and God in his governmental dealings destroyed those who were pursuing his people when they crossed the Red Sea. You can carry these principles throughout the whole of the Word of God. You'll find that wherever you find God's government, you'll find the parallel line of God's grace. In this chapter, we started off by showing the grace of God and how the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested to this poor woman who was caught in the act of sin. And then we discussed a little the light of his glory, where Christ said, "I am the light of the world." Now here I suggest to you, we have the light of his government, that the true light, he reveals their darkness. Now, it's a remarkable thing here that Jesus spoke to them again, and he said this, "I am going my way, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Now, you could read that verse and pass it over and think there was nothing to it. But it seems to me that the statement the Lord made here has to do with his governmental dealings. And as the true light, he's now revealing their darkness. "Whither I go, ye cannot come." Now, why couldn't they? It doesn't say ye won't come or will not come. It said, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." Now you see, this is associated with something else. "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Now that's the point. If they die in their sins, then where he is, they cannot come. Oh, this takes away the foundation from that awful erroneous teaching that speaks of the greater hope. There have been men and women who have tried to preach and tried to persuade themselves that no person will ever perish, that even after this life is finished, that God will give them another chance. My friend, that is the doctrine of the devil himself. Remember, there is no opportunity, no other chance if a man dies in his sins. He's saying here, ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. As the true light, he reveals their darkness. They didn't understand this, but they were walking in darkness. They were turning their back on the light. He was going his way, and the day would come when his judgment would fall upon them. They would die in their sins, and if they died in that condition, like the tree that falls, so they would lie. Now then, I want you to notice something else. You and I at this day can look back and remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was rejected by his nation. He went his way. He said, I go my way. And Christ's way was by way of the cross. We saw in chapter 6 how certain people wanted to take him by force, make him the king and set up the kingdom in a rebellious kind of a way. That was not his way. His way was to go to the cross, die that awful death, and effect the reconciliation. Atonement had to be made. He must be the atoning sacrifice. That was his way. Their way was different. And do you realize this? That only a matter of a generation after he died, 40 years, and that great city of Jerusalem was destroyed. The city was burned up. The houses destroyed. The place leveled. The inhabitants were chased out. And they went to scattered throughout the whole earth. Judgment came upon them at the destruction of the city. The Lord Jesus Christ, one day when he was walking out of the temple, they drew his attention to those massive stones. And he said, don't be taken away with the idea of this temple. I tell you this, there won't remain one stone on top of another that will not be thrown down. This place will be destroyed. And it was destroyed. In the year 70 it was destroyed. Judgment came upon that nation. And these people who had rejected the light and went on in darkness, the judgment of God fell upon them. He is the light of his government. And he's saying to them here, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. What does he mean, ye shall seek me? Isn't it true that when the judgment came upon them, when the difficulties surrounded them, when Jerusalem was encompassed by its enemies, and the city was about to be destroyed, whenever persecution came upon that nation, they're crying out for their Messiah to come. Even today, if you were to go to Jerusalem today, and go down to the Wailing Wall, and stand and listen to these men, as they come there and recite their prayers at the Wailing Wall, oh, they're crying for the day when their Messiah will come. These Orthodox Jews, no, not the Zionists, no, not the political men, the Orthodox Jews today are crying out for their Messiah to come. They're seeking him. They can't find him. See, they rejected their Messiah. They put him on a cross. But now when persecution comes upon them, they're seeking for him. They want him. They want him to come to their aid. He says, ye shall seek me, and you'll die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Here is the true light, and the true light reveals their darkness. They were prepared to carry on in the darkness of sin and die in darkness. And if they refused the light, my friend, and died in sins, then where he was, they couldn't come. You remember that great truth that the Lord made known to Nicodemus, the great ruler of the Jews, who came to Jesus by night. And the Lord said unto him very clearly, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In plain words, he's in darkness. And then again he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Here were men who wanted the kingdom, but they didn't want the king. Here were men who wanted the light of the kingdom, and yet they were continuing in darkness. They could neither see nor enter into the kingdom because of their unbelief. And he said, if you go on like that in darkness, you'll die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. And then, of course, that seems to create a little sarcasm with those that are standing around him. For they begin to talk amongst themselves and say, what does he mean? Does he mean to commit suicide? Will he kill himself? Because he said, whither I go, ye cannot come. And they certainly weren't going to do that. But now he begins to speak to them again, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. As the true light, he condemns the darkness of their unbelief. You see, my friend, here is a great sin, the sin of unbelief. He said, if ye believe not that I am he. Now, they did not believe that he was their Messiah. They did not believe that he was the Son of God. They did not believe that he was God manifest in the flesh. All right, he said, if that's what you want, then you're continuing in darkness. If you don't believe that I am he, you don't accept me as the I am, as the Messiah, ye shall die in your sins. So therefore, here is the true light. The light of his government, and it condemns the darkness of their unbelief. But let us turn this to ourselves today. Is it true that the light of his governmental dealings may be flooding in upon us, but we're closing our eyes to that light, and we don't want the light? Because, as is pointed out in chapter 1, men love the darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. So they don't want the light of the glory of the Son of God. They don't want the light of the government of the Son of God. They want to do their own thing. They want to live their own lives. So therefore they're going to reject him. They don't think that he is the Messiah. And so he said, if you don't believe in me, if you don't accept me, if you don't believe that I am he shall die in your sins. My friend, it's a great tragedy when men and women die in their sins. Do you realize there's only two ways that people die? That's right, just two ways. Either they die in faith, or they die in their sins, in unbelief. Suppose it was your turn tomorrow or today. What would you expect the preacher to say about you? Would you expect the preacher to say that you died in your sins? Or would you expect him to say that you died in faith? You should be able, my friend, to answer that question. Now he said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now have ever you believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Remember again, that's why this gospel has been written. John makes it perfectly clear. These things are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing ye might have life through his name. Have you, my friend, as you listen to me now, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And through believing, have you received life through his name? If not, then you're still in your sins. You're still in unbelief. There's no middle way here. You cannot sit on the fence. We must either be on one side or the other, believer or unbeliever. We must either have accepted Christ or we're rejecting Christ. There's no middle road. Now therefore, he said, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And what he said to these people that day is relevant to us today. Now then, as the true light, he unveils the real manner of his death. Because he said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him, and they understood not that speak to them of the Father. Now watch these words in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak those things. Now here again he makes mention of being lifted up. As the true light then, he unveils the manner of his death. That is, he will be lifted up. He says, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. Now in chapter 3, when he was speaking to Nicodemus, he indicated why he should be lifted up. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So he made it known to Nicodemus in chapter 3 why he should be lifted up. But now here in chapter 8 he indicates who would be responsible for his crucifixion. For very clearly he says this, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. He has already in his governmental dealings pointed out to these people that they are unbelievers. He has pointed out to them that they're refusing the light, that is, they're continuing in the darkness, and if they go on in this darkness of unbelief, they'll die in their sins, and if they die in their sins, then where he is, thither they cannot come. He's made that perfectly clear. Now he brings the indictment against them, and he shows them that the outcome of their unbelief will be this, that they will take the Son of Man, and they will lift him up to die, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. Perhaps at this point we should remind you again that death by crucifixion was not the normal thing with Jews. Jews usually stone people to death, but the Romans put people to death by crucifixion. That is the reason when the time comes for that nation to get rid of him, they hand him over to the Roman powers, and the Roman soldiers take him out, and they crucify him at Calvary. Nevertheless, while it was the Roman soldiers that nailed him to the cross, here the Lord Jesus Christ lays the indictment right against these very people, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these leaders of the people, these religious leaders, Matthew. He's saying, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. Isn't it strange when the time came for him to be crucified? The man who was standing at the cross said, of a truth, this is a righteous man, he is the Son of God.